Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to James chapter number 4 is where we're going to begin. James chapter number 4. It's going to be a little bit of a topical message. We're going to be going to different passages of Scripture. And as we look at this thought of never forget, yesterday was the 20th anniversary of what happened on 9/11. And I know that's one of the cries or one of the battle cries in the sense that we should never forget what happened and how we should always remember. And I did a lot of reading throughout the week thinking about it, and it can be very emotional when you think about the people who were willing to give of themselves to help rescue people, the people who on Flight 93 were willing to give of themselves to make sure that they weren't going to be able to do whatever they wanted to with the planes. And I know that someday 9/11 will become pretty much just something in history as a reference point of story or country. But I think there's some really great reminders in that day and some things that we should never forget. And I think we can apply those things to scriptural things. One of the things I remember was not just 9/11, I remember 9/12. The day afterwards, or a few days after the words, you saw people in churches praying. You saw a country that was praying. You saw a capital filled with elected officials singing hymns and prayers going out from people that probably didn't even know God. They just realized that they needed God. Airwaves of people talking about things that really, truly matter. But for many people, that's become nothing more than a memory. And when they say, "We'll never forget," there's many that have. And those that they lifted up and honored like police officers back then, nowadays they're looked down upon. And there's just so many things that just shows us we haven't learned a lot in these 20 years. At least some haven't. And I'm grateful for the protection that God's given us the last two decades. As my wife just sang, you know, He's been faithful to us during that time. But I think there's some really important truths that we should never forget. And there's some really important things in God's Word that we should never forget. I know it seems like 20 years, it's gone by really quickly. And one of the things that most people can remember, except for those that are only 20 or under, where they were. I worked the midnight shift. I was heading back, not sure if it was a school day or what, but I remember I was listening to sports radio on the thing, and they began talking about it. And then as they were there, they watched someone else. They watched the other plane go into the next building. And at that moment in time, history kind of changed forever. And the fact that how terrorists had attacked our American soil and just made things different. And my prayer today is that we will, as a congregation, as a members, learn how to behave in today's time period. What we should do. You look across the world today, you look across our country, there's so much wickedness, but there's also so much of our liberties and freedoms that seem like they're being taken away from us, and they're trying to force things upon people, and it's a challenge. What am I supposed to do as an American? What am I supposed to do as a believer? How can I bring glory and honor to God? Because that's got to be the first question, is He's the one that we are faithful to first and more than anything else, is how can I bring God glory through the life that I'm living? And there are three things this morning that I think would be important for us to remember, and some things I think maybe we've forgotten. The first thing is, never forget life is short. Never forget life is short. We're not promised tomorrow. I read on a Facebook post, and the only reason why I'm mentioning it here, so that way if the numbers aren't exactly right, it talked about on the evening of September 10th, there were 246 people who went to sleep in preparation for their morning flights. There was 2,606 people who went to sleep in preparation for work in the morning the next day. There were 343 firefighters that went to sleep in preparation for their morning shift. 60 police officers went to sleep in preparation for a morning patrol. 8 paramedics went to sleep in preparation for the morning shift of saving lives. And none of them saw past 10 a.m. on September 11th. And when I read that, it just kind of reminded me of this important truth. We're not promised tomorrow. Not only are we not promised tomorrow, the people we love are not promised tomorrow either. And it's a sobering fact because many of these are husbands and wives, and they leave behind people that love them. And one single moment of life, there was much that was taken away. And as we live and enjoy the breaths that we take today and tonight and tomorrow and the days following, let us always constantly never forget that life is short. And there's some different thoughts for that. You know, life being short, what should we do? Here in James chapter number 4, it talks about the brevity of life, but also talks about do what you know is right. Look what it says in James chapter number 4. Look what it says in verses 13 through 17. It says, "Go to now, ye say that today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, and we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the message this morning would be an encouragement and a hope, and Lord, a constant reminder of things that we should not forget. Or I truly believe we shouldn't forget what happened 20 years ago and the response to it. And Lord, how our nation's changed, but Lord, also how our nation has gone farther and farther away from you in recent years, especially. And Lord, that there are some things that need to be a constant reminder of us that we don't have much time in this world to serve you. And Lord, we need to do those things that we know that is right, and we need to reach those that we can while there is time. Lord, help us never forget that time is short. In Jesus' name, amen. I read that passage of Scripture, and sometimes we just take it for granted. Hey, I'm going to do this tomorrow, I'm going to do this the next day, and this the next day. Which I think planning is fine, planning is good, planning, there's some biblical things in that too. But we must always remember what is inside God's will and what's inside God's timing, because we're not promised tomorrow. Even in the book of Proverbs, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." As I read that number of almost 3,000 people, or over 3,000 people, excuse me, that had given their life that day, whether on flights, whether in the building, or whether those that were responding to the calls of helps of others. And it's like, it reminds us, hey, look, I'm not promised tomorrow. We didn't know that was going to happen. We were all taken by surprise. And when the Bible says, "Boast not thyself tomorrow," it means, hey, don't go thinking you got tomorrow to do what you should be doing today. Look what it says in verse number 17. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I think this is a verse that many times people forget about, or at least they don't look at it as sin. But there's a lot of things out there that we know we should be doing, but we choose to put it off for another day. We choose to put it off for another week, or we choose to put it off for another month. Not because God's leading us to be patient, not because God's leading us to wait for a little while longer. We choose to do it because we don't want to. But the Bible tells us. It gives us some encouraging words, not only encouraging words, it gives us commands. He says, look, don't boast yourself tomorrow because you might not have tomorrow. If there's something you need to do today, then do it. Matthew 6:33 puts it this way, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I know there's many times you're pulling on the strings of being sympathetic, and you're saying, "Oh, I need to hug my children more because I don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow." And I agree. We need to appreciate the things we have. We need to be thankful for the things we have. We need to love our kids and love our mates and love our family, and then treat our church family right and love them and work together for good every day. But when we remind ourselves, hey, I may not be here tomorrow, it's going to change the way I live my life. It's going to change the way I look at my life. And if I think about, if I'm not going to be here tomorrow, that person that's sitting next to you may not be here tomorrow. And you look across the room, some of them are older, some of them are younger. I was reading in some of the different stories I read about, and I was looking at obituaries yesterday, and I was, because they were seeing whether or not there was a funeral service or an individual, I noticed in that, I was going down to the list, and there was a picture of a little girl there. She was 11 years old. And I don't know the story at all. I don't know what happened to her, but I was thinking, 11? Boy, that's too young. And I bet you she wasn't, unless there was some type of illness. Obviously, there was. It was an unexpected thing that happened. So we must learn, and the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do what is right today, for there may be no tomorrow for you. Express love while you have a chance, because there may be no one tomorrow to that same person to express love to. Make sure that you're right with God. One of the greatest things that kind of in the forefront of our minds is, hey, if we're not promised tomorrow and we're putting off getting right with him, then there's something we need to change. Salvation is something that's offered to all and is there and available. But there are some that who will never have the chance again to hear the presentation of the gospel. There are some, and I can almost guarantee in this room that next year, this time, they won't be here. It rings true for almost every year. Someone in our church family goes and passes. We think that even in the last number of months, we've lost people that, yes, I know with Mr. Richard Green, he had been sick for a while, but still, it came upon, it still comes unexpected. We're not ready for those things. I want to encourage you today, just as we say, hey, we're never going to forget what happened on 9/11. We're going to make sure we work towards it as a country to make sure something like this never happens again. And, you know, all the promises and all the other things that kind of came from that, I think that we should never forget them, but we need to remind that this moment in history teaches us that we are not promised tomorrow and that life is short. We need to do what we're supposed to today. And I think verse number 17 is something that can speak to our hearts, because there are so many of us that says, hey, I need to tell someone else about Christ. Hey, I need to get my heart right in this area. Hey, I need to forgive someone. Hey, I need to make sure this relationship's right. There's so many different things that we know we should be doing. We just say, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes sometimes. Second thing I want you to think about, never forget life is short. Second thing I want you to think about, never forget there is an enemy. Never forget there is an enemy. And I think sometimes people live their lives with, because of the fact that there's an enemy over in the Middle East, or because there's an enemy over in China, or because there's enemies over here in Russia and enemies over there, because they don't happen on our soil, we don't think that there's really any battles or any wars. We're kind of picked up and we're moved away from that. And because of that, we don't realize. Now, obviously, if you don't pay attention to the news and you just live your life, pretty much most of Americans' needs are met. I had an eye doctor appointment this past week. I had to go to Virginia because my eye doctor couldn't get me in for months. And I said, I went and met somebody, and he talked funny. He was from Scotland. He was a nice man. And we talked about it, and we talked a little bit about, anytime I get a chance, I try to talk to him about scripture. And he says he's just looking for peace. That's a great opening, because of the fact that peace is something that God brings. And I try to encourage him with that. But he talked about being in the military. He was a dual citizen or something like that. And he served in our military, and how he had been to so many third world countries. And he saw all the poverty that many people lived in. And he talked about how America is wealthy. You know, how even the poor live better than sometimes what the wealthy in the other countries do. And it just kind of reminded me of that day when it comes to this battle that we're in. Sometimes we act like there's no war going on, but there is a spiritual battle that is constant. There is something that is waging war against us, that does not want us to live for God, that does not want us to do those things that are right. And the scripture talks so much about it. And I think about that those terrorists, even though if you kept up with the news and kept up with history a little bit, you might have known a little bit about it. But when they flew those planes, those Islamic extreme terrorists that flew those planes, it became something personal to us. The battle became real to us. It became more imminent. People looked at that and said, they paid attention to that. And they says, you know what? We have an enemy. America has an enemy. There's someone who was willing to take an airplane and fly it through a building and see thousands die because of this catastrophe. There is an enemy that's there. And I think something we must always remember and never forget, there is an enemy out there. And that enemy does not play fair. That enemy does those things that is necessary to try to ruin your life. And the Bible tells us to take notice of it. The Bible tells us even to be sober, to be vigilant. It's something that we should take seriously. And he says, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. The reality is so many times Christians live their lives and they live it so mundane and they don't take on the fight that they just keep on going and saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and they don't feel the attacks of the devil because they're never doing anything that the devil needs to attack. They're living a lackadaisical Christian life that doesn't see them praying, doesn't see them reading their Bibles, doesn't see them doing things, and they feel like, oh yeah, the preacher talks about that devil. He's mean, he's nasty, but they don't ever fight against him. And I think there's some things we need to forget. We must never forget that there's an enemy. Just as there's people who could care less what happened to America, who hate our country, and who would do. You think about it, in the streets of Kobol, and once again, sometimes when you watch things, you know so much how much you trust the news, because there's so much lies out there, and there's so much truth, and there's so many different. But I was watching people celebrating the 9/11 in the streets of Kobol with America equipment. There's a problem there. And I think about it, in the U.S. Embassy, somebody's there celebrating the fact of what happened back in 9/11. It's something we mourn over, something we learn from, but obviously we didn't learn certain things. And you say, well, how do you fix it? I don't know how to fix it. I just know there's a problem. I know that there is a legitimate enemy that hates Americans and that could care less what happens to Americans, and they're willing to do things such as fly planes through or not allow killing, and over in the Middle East, killing Christians. There are enemies out there in the world, and I want you to remind you there is a spiritual enemy, and there is someone that we wrestle against. There is someone we're supposed to be fighting against. There is someone who wants, the Bible says, to devour you. And John chapter number 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he says that I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So the devil's not interested in just playing games and making you happy. He'll present sin in a way, hey, this is for your fun. He'll go up to Eve and say, yay, hath God said. And he says, no, God doesn't want you to take of the fruit because he's holding you something back. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. He is an enemy that could care less what he does to you. He might present something to you and say, hey, this is going to be more fun. This is going to be more enjoyable. But to be honest with you, he is going to do nothing but harm you. He has no desire to do something good for you. He hates you. He only wants you to defy the living God, the God that you love and that you serve. Underneath that, never forget there's an enemy. There's three things I want you to think about. We should be prepared to fight the enemy. So why do you say that? It's because it's found in the scripture. If you have an enemy, you should be ready and prepared for when the enemy attacks. And there has been safeguards that have been put in place since 9/11 that says, hey, we're going to make sure that this enemy is not going to attack us the same way. I know that things in air travel, there's different things that happen now that never happened before because they're saying, hey, that happened once. We don't want to let that happen again. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Then stand, therefore, is later on in the chapter. That means be prepared and be ready to fight. Even the Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. And what is he saying to us? He's saying that we need to be prepared. And sometimes I think the reason why this attack happened and it was so successful was because we weren't prepared to fight that type of enemy. But the Bible tells us, don't be surprised by the enemy. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Sometimes I think we're surprised. Oh, I didn't see that coming. And obviously the airplane thing, it was something that was new. And they didn't see that coming. But the devil, he's been a liar from the beginning. And he's taught us things over and over in the scriptures. You see what he did to Eve is the same games he's playing with us today. He's playing with our young people today. He's playing with adults. He's playing with families. He's playing with all types of people today. And he's saying, look, don't be ignorant of these devices. Don't keep on saying, hey, I can live in sin. I can do what I want. There's no type of consequences. Oh, go ahead. God's just trying to take your fun away. Oh, go ahead. God's going to love you anyway. Go ahead. And he just keeps on. Don't be surprised. Even in 2 Corinthians 11, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." It is flabbergasting to think about how that there's many preachers today that's not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are churches that are filled, mega churches, where you never hear anything about sin and the conviction of sin and the need of a Savior. And what the devil has done, he has taken religion, he's made false religion so popular that now it's accepted. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody, as long as you're sincere. And it's wrong. And we're surprised by it. And sometimes even churches are confused by it. And because they says, "I can't believe that so-and-so is preaching. I can't believe this is being allowed. Homosexuality is being allowed in the church." Don't be surprised by it. He says that we should be ready. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Never forget there's an enemy out there. Never forget there's people who hate America. But in the spiritual realm, never forget there's someone who hates Christianity, who hates believers, who is trying to rob and steal and kill. And the devil doesn't play fair. That's right. We would think, well, if those terrorists would have told us they wanted to attack us, well, we've known that for years, then we could go take care of them. Well, they're not going to say, "Hey, look, we're flying a plane here." Of course you're not. And the devil doesn't work that way. Don't be surprised. The devil's not going to play fair. You look at the scriptures and you see the things he does and the way he moves and the way he acts. He knows what he's doing. We need to be respectful of the fact that we have an enemy. We need to be ready for it. And we should be prepared to fight. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I fought a good fight." Paul's finishing. He says, "Look, I didn't just sit around." He says, "I got out there. I got in the battle. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." We should never forget there's an enemy, and there's never forget there's going to be times to fight. There's going to be times to stand. Like I said, I've been doing different reading, watching little videos, trying to develop what I believe the Lord wanted me to in the message. And I've read a little bit about that Flight 93, how they found out about the other people who had attacked the trade centers, and that their plane had now was going east, and they didn't want to let that plane be used by the hijackers for their own will. So they were willing to rush the cockpit. They were willing to stand up and fight when they realized what was really going on. I tell you, sometimes we miss that as believers. We don't stand up and fight like we should against sin. Sometimes we remain silent when we should stand up for God. Sometimes when we need to say, "It's not enough to sit on the sidelines anymore. I need to get in the battle. I need to be fighting." Because the devil's not stopping. The devil's not taking a break. I know what you're saying. Well, it's not just the devil. It's his demons. I get it. But it's a constant onslaught. And the person who wants to live for God, that's what God says, put on the whole armor of God. He's telling you to be prepared, to be ready. Don't let the devil fool you. The devil's not fair. He's not going to fight fair. He's not going to come to you and say, "Hey, I want to destroy your life. You can have a little bit of fun, but I plan on you ruining your marriage and ruining this and ruining your church family and ruining your reputation and your testimony. I plan on you sending your kids to hell because you're not showing." He doesn't show you all those things, but he does do what he can to trip you up, devour you. The devil doesn't play fair. And as you think about that, wasn't right. It wasn't fair for them to fly airplanes into buildings. But they were an enemy. They didn't care. They did what they believed their religion taught them. They believed they were doing what their God wanted them to do. In all reality, there is a one true God. There is no other God. And if you're not worshiping the one true God, you're doing the works of Satan. And so he was doing what they wanted to do. I want to encourage you today, never forget there's an enemy out there. I think we live our lives sometimes under the shelter of God's grace, and we live in the freedom of our country, and sometimes we even forget, "Hey, there's a devil out there. It's not a big deal if I sin. It's not a big deal if I watch this or if I do that. What's really the big deal? Show me where it's wrong." And I don't think those that are in our military are able to say, "Hey, it's not a big deal if I don't follow orders. It's not a big deal if I don't see what the importance of this is. No, they're being trained for a battle. They're being trained for a fight. They're doing what they're told because they know their life depends upon it. And their spiritual peace depends upon us never forgetting there's an enemy. Third thing I want you to think about is never forget about those in need of rescue. I think one of the things that maybe I didn't appreciate as much as I was reading and studying this 20 years anniversary, there were a lot of people that were trapped there for a while and they needed to be rescued. They wanted to be rescued. They couldn't. See videos or hear stories of people jumping out the windows. Not sure about all the stories, why they did it. Obviously, they maybe slipped because they were trying to get air from the smoke, but there was definitely some that jumped out the window to get out, dying, choosing to die that way instead of dying the way of smoke and fire. And you think, you read those numbers, and there were people's moms, dads, sons, and daughters. And it kind of, if you allow it to, if you see them there and they want to be rescued, but they can't. You read some of the phone calls of the people that came and says, hey, things don't look good. I don't think you're going to make it out of here. And then, you know, we were all thinking, many of the people respond, oh, no, everything's going to be okay. It's, you know, there's people there. They can get helicopters. They can get, and they were hoping, but their fate was sealed because the staircases were blocked and the elevators were blocked and there was no way of getting to them. No one there to rescue them. Their fate, it was sealed. And it reminds me of the rescue that's needed in so many places today when it comes to a spiritual sense. There are people that are lost and dying and heading to a horrible place called hell, and that Jesus Christ came into this world and paid their sin debt for them. And they have an opportunity here about how to be rescued from their sins. But some people aren't telling them. I mean, if they were up there in that building and they were trapped there and there was a way to get out and no one told them, we would say that person deserves to die the same way they did. But I think about, and I've read through the stories, and I think you should honor those that did heroic acts. I watch some of the videos and I see people running away from the building and with gray smoke and all these other things, but there's also another group that's heading right to the building. There are people who were firefighters and police officers, military and paramedics, while those that were running away, trying to get safety, were those that were going and looking for someone to rescue. And it just reminds me of the fact that we had a need. We all have the need that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have a sin problem that must be dealt with. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay that sin. That he saw our need, but God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, while we were sinners, while we were in need of rescue, while we were all headed to a horrible place called hell, Christ died for us. He has provided a way for us to know him and to be saved from our sins. I don't think we should ever forget there are those that are in need of rescue. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does that mean? Saved from your sins, saved from the penalty of your sins, rescued from the state that you were in. The Bible says, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It means that we truly understand the fact that we're in need of a sinner, that God convicts us of our heart of our sin, and that we turn to God in faith and say, God, I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in my ways. I'm trusting in you and you alone for my salvation. And it's believing that we are in need of that rescue. Seeing us as a sinner and allowing God to convict your heart, that's something you need. You need to be saved from your sins. And then confessing it to him. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As I said, reading some stories, it was encouraging to see some that were willing to even risk their lives to help rescue people. But also, the Lord brought to my mind, there are some of us that aren't even willing to go out of our way to give someone a gospel tract. And that's just not the way God has designed the Christian life to be lived. He's designed it for us to be a witness. He designed it for us to be salt, to be light, to be part of the rescue efforts, to go out into the world. But there's many of us today that it's been a long time since we ever gave a gospel presentation. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those guys that think you should force somebody to get saved or try to trick them into saying some words. But it is our responsibility to tell them their need and show them that they have a need and encourage them to accept and put their faith in Christ and what he did on the cross and him alone. And that there are those in this, he is the one that truly saves us. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. I understand all that, but he leads us, he guides us, he convicts us, he shows us. I know on Saturday mornings that when we come for visitation, we go out and we from house to house, we tell people about Jesus Christ. We invite them to church. If they give us the opportunity, we talk to them about spiritual things. Why is that? Because there's people that are in need of rescue. I think we live our lives and don't even think about that. I think we live our lives thinking everybody's okay. And I remember reading a couple of different times, he says, I think God took all those people to heaven because of the way they died. That's not found in the Bible. It's just not. It's a nice thought, but it's just not reality. If they didn't know Christ and if someone didn't tell them about Christ while it happened, they were sent to a godless eternity, according to what the scripture says. That's hard to hear, but that's why we must never forget that there are those in need of rescue, and we should live lives that remind us that the wages of sin is death, separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we try to remember and honor those who gave their lives that day, and I think there are people that were heroic, and there were people who did who were willing to give their lives to see other people saved. And I think about people like the disciples that gave their lives to see others saved. I think about martyrs that have died just because they know God and they're trying to tell other people about God. I think about people who lost their lives helping to have this Bible that you hold in your hands. You know, it's a trail of blood that, you know, that the people were willing to give up their lives just so we could have the Bible in our hands. People who died at the stake because of the fact that they wanted to translate the Word of God so the common person could have it. This King James Bible that you hold are things that people died so we could hold this. And it reminds me, sometimes I forget that every person I talk to is in need of being rescued. I understand some already know Christ, so they don't need it anymore. At one point in time in their life, they needed it. So never forget that life is short. There's no promise of tomorrow. And just like you said, those over 3,000 people, and you said, well, I thought it was under 3. I think it's including all those that were on the airplanes and things like that. Went to bed the night before expecting to see that next afternoon. And they didn't. I think we need to always remember there is an enemy out there, and I think sometimes America forgets that. I think sometimes our politics forget that, and I think they allow even people in political realms and even people political positions that it's like, don't you remember there is an enemy out there? We need to be careful. We need to respect the fact that God has told us to be sober, to be vigilant, and we don't have to be afraid of the enemy. Don't get me wrong. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can have victory, but the only way you're going to have victory is if you're willing to fight, if you're willing to battle the enemy. So many of us has just casually just laid aside while the enemy has wrecked and ruined and destroyed our lives. Don't let the enemy surprise you. He doesn't play fair. Don't let the enemy do what he wants to in your life. And thirdly, never forget there are those in need of rescue. Do you need to be rescued today? I know as listening to some of the phone calls, reading some of the text messages that were put out there, the people were desperate. They wanted to be rescued. There was just no hope. But I'm here to tell you today there is hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in knowing him. And yes, even though that there was no rescue for their physical bodies, there was a rescue spiritually that could have happened. This morning, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your, in your heart as your personal Savior? We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven, and you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We'd love to have somebody just show you from the Bible what it means to be a Christian and on their way to home, on the way to heaven. How about you, believer? Have we forgotten that life is short and we don't do those things that we know we should be doing? Oh, I know I should be reading my Bible. I know I should be witnessing. I know I should be being kind. I know I should be being faithful. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Life is too short to play games. Make sure you're right with him. Make sure you always remember there's an enemy, and never forget every person you come in contact with spiritually either is in need of rescue or have already been rescued. So let's share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.